And we are joined now in the studio by Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Hemminger, just re-elected to term number two. Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm good. I'm excited. It was a great Tuesday.
Yeah. You were right next door, but we didn't get to see you on election night itself. So it was a big party going on.
Yeah, it was a fun party, and I've been all day on my feet out of the bowl. So it was nice to celebrate. And then I went downtown to a couple other parties, so it was good. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of celebrating going on.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Great slate of
candidates. So what's coming up for the next 2 years?
Well,
the work begins immediately.
The work does begin immediately. I will say, a new group of four new people coming in. Mm-hmm. So that means some training and getting to know each other and setting some visions and hearing some new perspectives. So I'm excited about that as well.
Yeah, what does that mean for, and we've been talking about this, and Tom Jensen said it on the air on Tuesday night and had a couple conversations about this with other people. It is a sort of an unusually inexperienced council.
Right.
2 years ago, there were, I think Tom said, four different people on the council who had been there for 10 years, and now Donna Bell is the only one who's been there for more than two. So what does that mean in terms of just sort of day-to-day activity and what needs to be learned and learning curves and changes in perspectives and things like that?
So, and interestingly enough, I was talking to Mayor-elect Steve Shule as well, because Durham's got something
Durham's
a little similar.
Oh, Durham's going to have the same problem.
Right, and there's a couple other boards that do too.
Yep.
So it means we do orientation, and I'll be part of that as well, and try to learn how people think and where we need to fill in more information versus things that are already easily understandable, and how we build that. So you have to create those building blocks. I mean, terminology is different, learning new faces and ways of doing things are different. And so it takes a little bit of time to get up to speed, but we start off with these orientations before the December 6th swearing in, and then during December, and then January, we'll come back with a work session to start off with, and then more training, and they go to a municipal government school, which is a couple of days, but it's very valuable.
Does the School of Government at UNC do that?
Yes, they do the School of Government.
They do
that, I went to mayor school a couple years ago.
Yep.
And then we have our council retreat. So that's a good time to really sort of pull together and say, where do we want to go? These are the things that we know we have on our docket for this season, but what are the things we want to do? I've been trying to get the teen task force off the ground. So that's one thing I know I'm aiming for. Went to a presentation on the arts means business again for our community. And so we're working some things there. We have the affordable housing strategic plan framework that we've gotten started. We'll be moving along with that. And there's several other things like that that we'll weave together with new, like I said, new perspectives, new insights, and it'll be interesting. Along with the people who are already there, and I spoke with Donna Bell today, and we're meeting again on Friday because she's got the experience and I've got the leadership part there. We're going to have to combine to make things work out. So,
awesome.
Good. We'll be doing a mentor-mentee thing, too, between existing council members. So, at the end of the day, it is a council of different people working together as a team, with everybody brings different talents to the table, and we'll discover what that looks like and how that works together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you were out on the campaign trail, I know, sort of running, quote-unquote, unopposed with the write-in candidate, but you were out there campaigning, you were speaking with people at the polls. What are people saying in Chapel Hill? What are the issues? What do people want in terms of
the
direction?
Well, mostly they were telling me they were very excited. The top one I heard was, thanks for doing the American Legion property. Mm-hmm. Looking forward to seeing what that's going to be. Thanks for bringing Wegmans. And the startup companies, and thanks for food for the summer, and want to see more commercial, want to see more jobs, want to see that balance back in our community for all that. So I heard a lot of that. People ask questions about affordable housing, like, why is it so hard? Why does it take so long? Why can't we solve this right now? Other people said, please don't raise my taxes. It was a interesting, similar theme the whole time, which was good. But mostly people were in good spirits and looking forward to Chapel Hill that makes strategically good decisions.
Yeah. So it's sort of trying to piece together like what the direction that voters want the town to go, because there's a lot of sort of positivity about, you did this is good, you did this is good, and then the election comes and you've got four newcomers in and two incumbents leaving, which suggests that
four
voters want that. Yeah, four incumbents, right, but two getting voted out explicitly.
Right.
So that suggests that that voters want the town to go in something of a different direction, right?
I wasn't hearing that as much as, and I got to meet all the candidates on the campaign trail, and everybody was liking this diversifying our tax base and figuring out how that works, and to have those kinds of projects and developments fit into our community and be things that we want to see. So I was hearing a lot of that. I was hearing people really, really wanting to stress the multimodal getting around, mm-hmm. And making that all integrate in as well, and wanting to know, were we thinking for the future about what how we integrate? I still go back to some of the things we heard at the Chamber intra-city visit or inter-city.
Yeah.
I never get those terms right. talking about...
Inter-city visit, right?
Yeah,
if it's intra, then you're just meeting with each other,
okay,
right?
Okay, so inter. Talking about the variety of things that we need to offer here to make sure that we're capturing all levels, age levels, groups and cultures, and talking mm-hmm. about things like having places to gather for millennials, for cultural, for all kinds of things, and talking about how that feels in Chapel Hill, because we love that diverse part of our, I mean, we do. And I think we're going to have one of the most diverse councils we've had in a long time, too, mm-hmm. and I'm excited about that. Again, I truly believe that bringing diverse perspectives together yields for conversation, yields some of the best outcomes, because you just get to think about something or hear thoughts from a totally different perspective than you've ever had. And I think that's really important in today's world. Mm-hmm. So I love that about Chapel Hill. And so I'm excited about what that feels like. And I don't know yet. So again, it's going to be, I'm looking forward to a real positive experience.
Cool. What's coming up?
Well, I will tell you one thing I did over the weekend, too. I got to speak and then pull the start horn for the Eve Carson 5K
oh,
run.
Yeah.
I've never done that. They get your hand really cold.
Yes.
There. But I was just so motivated by, this is 10 years ago that Eve Carson was murdered. The student groups, the community that she grew up in comes up for this race. It was over 1,000 runners. They raise over $40,000 for scholarships
That's good, this race
every year. And it was a great day to race. I mean, it was an early morning and it was a little bit chilly, but it was perfect. And people were in such... good spirits is the wrong way to put it, embracing what Eve stood for.
Yeah.
And she stood for inclusion and being active in your community and have the thought that everyone has the right to have a chance to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was reiterated through the theme from the whole thing. And so that was really wonderful. So yesterday I got to ride on a fire truck that the town
awesome.
Has donated to the school
Oh, the Chapel Hill High School one. Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
It was kind of fun to drive it through the campus with the blaring. I don't think I'm getting to sit on a fire truck when it's blaring. and to learn that we're trying to find other ways for our students to be successful besides. Mm-hmm. There's the college path, but there's other paths out there, too. And we need to embrace as a community how to help everyone. And if you have students learning to be public safety, EMT, fire station, police in your own community who grew up here, who want to stay here, that benefits the community, too.
Yep.
So it's really good.
We were talking about this earlier today in a group of people, and it came up that this particular thing came up, the fire truck, the new program at Chapel Hill High, and people were excited about this because this is an opportunity for the school system, for Chapel Hill Carborough, to sort of teach that, you know, public safety and also that vocational training that's kind of lacking. And the conversation that I was in was sort of drawing a distinction between the vocational training and like the more traditional liberal arts, the college prep path. It doesn't have to be a distinction either. I mean, the mm-hmm. two
yeah,
really
yeah.
go hand in
yeah.
hand. If you're going down the vocational track, you should be taking literature classes. If you're taking literature classes, you should also know about public safety. They really go hand in
they
hand.
Really
that's
do.
Part of the goal of getting everyone to be sort of a well-rounded student when they're done.
And we're seeing more of that with our community college system. Mm-hmm. It used to be each group taught a certain number of courses that were only in a pod, so that if we were teaching EMT here, they weren't teaching it at Wake Tech.
Yep.
If Alamance Tech is teaching culinary, we weren't teaching here. Now we're seeing the need for all those opportunities. I know that, you know, it's not too far to go from each to one, but it's great that there's so many opportunities out there to try different things, and you can interweave that whole experience together. Duke Energy will tell you that a good number of their linesmen are getting ready to retire in the next 5
yeah.
to 10 years, and those are great jobs that have opportunities for growth and a great quality of life, everything else.
Yep,
so there's
yep.
all kinds of things out there, and the world's changing. As we know, we talk about startups, we talk about entrepreneurship. Today I was at a meeting, they were talking about deliveries. People had gotten they'd ordered diapers and paper towels that morning and gotten them that afternoon. And when
yes.
they says, hey, I live in Richmond, they actually delivered it by a drone. So, you know, that's changing, and there's going to be great jobs in that industry. I watched a TV promotion on kids in Charlotte, I believe, learning how to be drone operators.
Yep.
So, you know, that doesn't require a four-year college degree. It's the high school doing it in Charlotte, learning how to do this. That requires a passion or desire mm-hmm. to be in that kind of field. So there's going to be some amazing opportunities out there and different ways to learn how to do that.
We were talking, I can't remember, I think it was a chamber event here locally, and it was maybe a year or two ago where I heard someone speak about the difficulty of construction companies finding master welders and people, labor shortage with that. So those jobs are there. It's a great skill to have just for life.
Yeah.
And then simultaneously, if you can couple that with the liberal arts classes that teach you reading skills, writing skills, critical thinking skills, civics, like the values of getting out there and being a responsible member of your community, and find some way to combine all of those things together, we'll be a lot better off for it, individually and socially.
As a community, we'll be better off.
Yeah,
but
right?
Yeah. And
yeah.
So last night, we gave out awards to youth in the Triangle region that had contributed volunteer hours. They had, I mean, the levels were like 350 hours and about, I mean, it was amazing to hear what these kids, some of the things these kids had done, but their engagement. And I talked about, you get the most, the community benefits greatly when people volunteer and help the community grow together. The whole community grows and happens. But as individuals, those opportunities when you step out of your own comfort zone are the times you learn the most, and those lessons stick with you the rest of your life, and it's the biggest growth for yourself. And not every stepping out of your comfort zone is a comfortable experience, but it's an experience worth trying, because staying just in your own pathway and in your own bubble and on your, doesn't really lead to a complete, I don't know, I won't say complete life, but those opportunities come along and it's amazing. And so doing something volunteer-wise or trying a course that may be something, I mean, that you've never thought about before, stepping out of that comfort zone and things you're comfortable with, opens up so many opportunities.
It makes
for
your life completer. Right?
we're both not going to do one literature class here. Right now.
I can invent words. I'm on the radio.
Can't conjugate them. So I stress that to the students. I'm like, you know, connect with people you've never connected with that you might not have run into in the particular path in life or group that you're in, and try that stepping out of your comfort zone and see what it yields. Because I think you'll discover things about your community, about yourself, but about your future that you and I will say, you will remember those. I went down to Honduras to build houses for Habitat, and I thought, oh, great, I'm coming down here to help people. I got more out of that experience that will stick with me for the rest. The people in Honduras with very little resources are the most grateful people on the planet for the sun shining, for the bird. They really taught you to sort of view life in a different perspective, not based on things, not based on wealth, not based in. So you learn so much, and those opportunities, and I don't know, it was, and not having a backhoe to help the digging, using pickaxes, not having machinery, having to do things by hand. At the end of the day, you were exhausted and feeling very, very rewarded that you had done something, but you also had learned so much. So, yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's cool. We have a lot of things going on next week, because the following week's Thanksgiving week. Next week, there's an open house on Wednesday about the new conditional zoning tool that we're going to be exploring. Thursday, there's a Learn at Lunch permitting process at noon at the Chapel Hill Chamber. Yeah, chamber office. Okay, I guess that's town chambers. I'm trying to read all this off my phone.
Town council chambers.
I've got an abbreviated thing, sorry. We're trying to do some new things where we can promote some videos and some experiences for people to learn how to do something without having to come in the office, go through a form, not understand it. So we're working with how to promote those better. Because if you're a homeowner or somebody who's just going to remodel something in your older home or add a deck on, you're probably not going through that process many times. So you just want to know how to do it in a way that's informative, but also not overly burdensome. So we're trying to work with that. And then we have our meeting on the 15th. It's a public hearing. There are several items on there coming forward. And please check our website. Please sign up for our e-newsletter. You really can find out a lot of what's going on. Monday, they're having the open house on the Blue Hill Design Guidelines, also at Town Hall from 6 to 8. And I'm headed from here over to the library for an American Legion Task Force meeting. Yep. So lots of good things going on.
In fact, as this is airing, you're there, right?
I think that's right. Yeah, that people forget
when
that happens.
We are technically pre-recording this, so if you're listening out there, Mayor Heminger is already at the meeting, and I'm sitting there just twiddling my thumbs and waiting.
Dancing, I've seen you dance.
Yes, I will do that, usually to music, but sometimes to pre-recording. pre-recorded conversations.
Ooh.
Yeah, the dancing is not as good when it's...
Not the vibe isn't the same.
Yeah, probably not. Depends on the pre-recorded conversation.
Well, thank you for letting me come in early.
Absolutely.
The one to be at that meeting. And I look forward to more conversations. And it was fun campaigning, but it's exhausting campaigning. And so I'm trying to catch back up on the things I didn't get to and move forward.
Is it harder to campaign or is it harder to be the mayor?
It's definitely harder to campaign.
Okay. Well, you had to do both.
Yes.
So,
yes.
But it is harder to campaign
just in
general?
Well, just because you're trying to reach as many people as possible. Right. You're trying to cover as many bases as possible. You're constantly emailing and thinking and reaching out and printing material and doing questionnaires and forums and, those are all wonderful because I know people want to hear, but it was very interesting this year without a local newspaper. You know, there was nothing in the Raleigh News and Observer about our races. There was very little in the Herald. You guys did a great job on Chapel Borough. Trying to send when people would ask, where do I find all the candidates? It was just harder this year, so that made it frustrating for both candidates and citizens trying to find out, because as candidate, you're like, where do I advertise? Where do I, you know, put stuff?
Here is the answer.
Yeah, well, that was true. No, and I did. I recommended here because, yes, actually, this reaches a lot of voices.
Yeah.
But trying to do all that and run your job and take care of your personal business, you run out of the hours, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
And so then, and you're always trying to think about what do I need to do next, what I need to do, because you're running a race. And so prepping for the race is always harder than the race itself. But anyway, I love it, though, because, like I said, I get to interact with people I might not run into on a daily basis. And then I love my job. It's been an amazing experience, and I'm excited about doing it for two more years.
Awesome. Mayor Heminger, thank you so much.
All right, thank you.